that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? Oh, it's amazing. Oh, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing again, but I'm just going to acknowledge here, this is our missions offering that we're going to be taking up, and we have the kids collect that offering because they're going to be leaving, marching off to Sunday school. So it's partially convenient because of that, but also it's teaching us to give at a young age. Praise the Lord. This group, some of them just came back from junior camp. We call it junior camp, Pastor. It's children's ministries camp, junior camp. We had 7 students go to junior camp. Yeah, I think last year we had 1 student go to junior camp. Mm-hmm. So that's a big jump from 1 to 7. And they enjoyed it. I was there on Sunday dropping off my son and got to enjoy the service there. And I got a picture of all those kids praying together. And just seeking God. And then on top of that, Grandma, Sister Jennifer, did Hayden tell you what happened? Okay. Is this okay? All right. So Hayden, on Sunday, do you want to say it? Yeah. Yep, while we were there, Hayden, and it was really neat because Hayden was kind of done praying, and he kind of sat back a little bit, and we encouraged one another, and I got to go over, and I said, Hayden, come on, go back up there and get prayed for by one of these counselors. And he got up and went up there, and then at the end, I didn't see him again till the end. And they were all shouting because God had filled them with His Spirit. Amen. That's kind of like my testimony, buddy. That's pretty awesome. We baptized Hayden last year in Jesus' name. And look what God has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about. A lifelong, a commitment, lifelong commitment. When God touches you at a young age, amen. God is going to keep you for your whole life. And that's what we're praying for all these kids, is that God would bless them their whole life. Praise the Lord. Awesome. All right. So, kids, are you ready? Okay. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? Oh, it's amazing. Yes, I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, sing God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. Oh, God Almighty, Lord of glory. Oh, sing
calls me friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus, I heard someone say. Would you join me? Would you do that? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Glory, wonderful living God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I agree with Brother Dyke. I was there the first night of junior camp. Amen, it was awesome stuff. I'm excited for our young people. Amen. God really can be with you your whole life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Turn in your Bible with me. Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to begin there at verse number 10. But just before I begin my text, Brother Dyke also did mention there's a pastor's lunch today. In case you don't know what that is, it's an opportunity for me to share with you who I am. Amen. I'm the pastor of the church, but much more than that, I'm a person that Jesus Christ has changed by his word. Amen. God has brought me a mighty long way. Amen. He has picked me up, lift me off, dust me off. He has cleansed me, changed me, helped me, led me. I can't say enough. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. So I'd like to give you my testimony, tell you a little bit about who I am, and I'd like to share a little bit about what this church is about, what we believe and where we think we are and where we think God is taking us and how we're going to get there. Amen. So if you're interested in any of that, I hope you'll stay for Pastor's Lunch today, right following service. Amen. Exodus chapter 34 is where I'd like to turn your attention, beginning to read at verse number 10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hivite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Amen. Also, Judges chapter 1, verse 21. Judges 1, verse 21. "And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day." Pause there. Matthew, a New Testament portion, chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 36 down to verse 40, just a few verses. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love the Lord," or "thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'd like to talk on this subject. Jesus Christ, Lord of my life. Would you say that with me? Jesus Christ, Lord of my life. Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we ask even now that your precious name, Lord, would be exalted here. God, that you would give anointing, Lord, and put words in my mouth and quicken, Lord, the scriptures and the by the Holy Ghost, Lord, would you anoint us, God, to both that I may speak it, that we might receive it. Lord, that your will would be accomplished in this house today. Lord, I pray we ask together in the precious name of Jesus for your will, Lord, to be accomplished here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Said in this portion of Scripture, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Well, for those that didn't know, there was a lot of laws. Moses told him how to live, how to walk, how to talk. He told him where to go, what not to go, what to wear, what to put on, what to say. I've not personally counted all those laws, but I've heard it said that there were 613 laws among them. That's a lot of laws. 40% were positive. Love the Lord thy God. Good stuff, positive stuff, uplifting stuff. 40%. 60%, thou shalt not. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't wear this with that and don't go there and do. There was a whole bunch of don't do's in the scripture. You shall love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. It's what the Bible tells us happened to them. It's good for us. And then the promise is at the back of the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good stuff. Praise the Lord. This verse of Scripture perhaps may be among the very first that the Jewish children would memorize, would learn. It was taught to them. It was taught in the homes and in the churches, the synagogues. The first commandment of the Old Testament, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. He's a jealous God. Nothing else needs to be more important than God. Amen. Jesus Christ. It's like there are people in our world, and even among us, there are even within us. It's like you allow God to have keys to the room or to the front door of your house. You let God in. And then you let God in every single room. You let him even in the closet of your heart. The secret places down way deep inside of who we are. Except something. I don't know what that is, but there are times that people in general will keep a segment or a part of our heart from God. Whew, watch out. We love Jesus as our Savior. There's been people here in this house, you've raised your hands, you've called his name, you've worshiped him. You call him Lord and Savior, the mighty God, and he is. But when he asks us for the keys to the door of every room in your heart, How many times, and be honest with your own self, how many times have we given him some? Perhaps even most, but held back that secret place. You see, lordship is putting Jesus Christ in charge of everything. Everything belongs to him. Amen. Every good thing in my life is from Jesus Christ. It's because God has blessed my life. Amen. I give him credit forever. I don't take credit for anything. My God has blessed me. And behold, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 2, this comes from there. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper had full confidence. He's done it before. He's healed multitudes. He's touched many. He was confident that God was able. You see, there are people here today, right now, under the sound of my voice, you are confident that God is able. Amen. The leper understood the lordship of Jesus Christ. He understood that all power is in his hand, that he is able to help no matter what. You might have an incurable disease. Perhaps the doctor didn't give you much hope. Perhaps the physician doesn't know what to do next. But my God is able. You see, we got to get to the point where the leper was. He had in his day what he thought was an incurable disease. The doctors didn't give him much hope. He didn't know where else to go. But when he handed him the keys to his heart, Lord, I know you're able. If thou wilt, you can make me clean. The leper understood lordship. He was willing to give everything to the Lord. There's nothing else I got left. Lord, you are my hope. You see, God, Jesus is sovereign. He's the mighty God. And he can do anything. Anything. You see, God really is in control. The word sovereign. It's one who possesses and exercises a supreme authority over an individual or a group. An acknowledged leader. A controlling influence. Sovereign. You see, when we recognize the sovereignty of God, it begins right here. We got to recognize that God is in control. That the Lord God Almighty, it is he that we need to seek. Amen. It's not in us. It's not in me. I can't make you do anything at all. But God is able to bring you up out of anything unto himself. Amen. My God is able. Praise the Lord. You see, great men, great women of God, great men and women in the kingdom of God, you see, they have this topic settled in their life. Amen. When you give all to God, when you've settled in your mind, when you have settled in your heart, I will serve the Lord no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, all the time, everywhere. You got to have it settled in your heart to give your situation to God. Sometimes it's easy. It's fun worshiping the Lord when you're having, when you're blessed. But what about when you're laying back in the hospital bed? I tell you, you can still love God then. Amen. You can still trust God then. Amen. Praise the Lord. You and I will never settle any issues that amount to very much in the kingdom of God until we settle that single fact that God is the owner and controller and the sovereign of every area of your life. Nothing. Let me underline, capitalize, and italicize. Nothing is outside the control of God. Amen. Everything is in His hand. Amen. Amen. We got to come to that conclusion. Everything is in His hand. A Gallup poll said that religious interest is in an unprecedented way. And yet, so is immoral behavior. Religious interests, immoral behavior. Little difference between those who go to church and those who do not go to church. How can that possibly be? How can we live in a world where you can't tell the difference? Why? Because we have not yet understood the submission of the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you are living like the world, if your coworker can't tell that you're a Christian, if your loved ones or your family members don't know that you're living for God, then all likelihood there's a lordship problem. The poll also found this. Most people believe that religion is a personal matter. Anybody ever heard that? Get this now. I don't agree with this Gallup poll at all. That religion is a personal matter and does not affect the way that we lead our lives. It's just almost unthinkable in my mind. How can I give myself to Jesus Christ and not be different? How that even anybody could possibly think that you can live any way you want and still belong to Jesus Christ? Most people believe that, well, I don't probably believe like most people. You got to give Jesus everything. Everything in your life is in His hand. It's at His control. Amen. There are some people that, even if they do come to church, but they leave the principles, the values at church, and they fall in with the worldly crowd. They continue to do the things that are done in the world. As Christians, we adhere to Christianity, to Bible teaching on Sunday, but through the week, people sometimes act in opposition to what the Bible teaches. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. I found these other statistics about religious people. How I know, I don't even like the term religious people. You see, I got to have a relationship with God. It's not about belonging, you know, signing a membership card. It's not about belonging to a church. It's not about who you say you are. It's more about what you do. Amen. Amen. Anyway, this statistics, and I hope they're not true, but maybe they are. They probably are true. Sad to say. 20% never attend church. Religious people. They don't go to church. Okay, I don't understand. 25% of this Gallup, of this poll, 25% never pray. 30% never read their Bible. My mouth is dropping open. 40% never give at church. We are teaching our children to give at church. 40% never give at church. 50% never attend Sunday evening service if they have one. 60% never give to world missions. 75% never assume a ministry in the church. 80% never attend midweek service. 95% have never won a soul to Jesus Christ. Yet, 100% in the survey said they're going to heaven. Everybody. A long time ago, we did a survey. Hundreds of people. One smart aleck guy thought he was going to party in hell with his buddies. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to be changed to be like him. He has to be the sovereign, the great one in our life. Let me use a scriptural example. Acts chapter 9, beginning there at verse number 1. Let me read. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem or unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? You know, that's something like that happened. Strike you down, light brighter than the noonday sun. You're on the ground, you can't see, you hear the voice. Who are you, Lord, is the question. Here it is. I am Jesus. I think this is the most clearly explained explanation of who God is in Scripture. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, here's the question that came to mind. What wilt thou have me to do? Go like this. What am I supposed to do? Amen. Jesus Christ, Lord of my life, what am I supposed to do? It's a great question. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. He was just beginning his new relationship with God. God was showing him who he was. Yes, he was blind, but then he got healed. Then he repented. Then he got baptized. Then he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he started a whole brand new life in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. The answer is follow God and his word will give us direction. You can find how to live your life right here in the Word. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a great question. Every one of us should be asking that of ourselves to God. What am I supposed to do? You see, in Acts chapter 9, in verse 6, Saul found out through Ananias' ministry that God's Word instructs us how to stay saved. It's not about just getting saved, and we all need to get saved, but we need to stay saved. Stay living for God. Stay in communication with God. Stay in closeness with God. Stay with Him as my Lord and my God. When Jesus is Lord of my life, our destiny is secure. Amen. But if he's not Lord of your life, it's not secure. Amen. You see, this new understanding of who Jesus is, this new revelation of who God is, this new experience is only the beginning. It's not the end, it's the beginning. We must grow and add to it as God directs us. I believe I need to grow in Jesus Christ, even as the pastor of the church. Our leadership needs to grow up in Jesus Christ. Our leaders need to know how to expound on the Word of God, how to show how to live our lives for Him. Every saint needs to grow in Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs to grow in Him. When Jesus is Lord of my life, we'll accept the challenge. We'll accept changing our lives for Him. Well, what is it that we need to change? Well, for one, that statistic in the Gallup poll that said people don't read the Bible. Why don't you start by opening the pages of the book? Why don't you start by finding the Word of God? Find a reading plan. Alexander Scorby and his reading is, that's my favorite Bible reader. I like to listen to it in the morning while I'm shaving and getting ready. It's just become part of what's normal. I want to hear the Word. I want to see the Word. I want to study the Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to open the pages of the Bible. I like the King James Version myself. Take the Bible with you when you come to church. Bible reading, prayer. Pray in secret. Pray in public. Pray at church, pray at home, but not in vain repetitions. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Anybody heard that one before? Pray. Learn how to talk to God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's not just how much you speak. We need to talk to God. Amen. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The unjust judge avenged the widow because of her continual coming. Luke 18:5. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. Daily prayer. Pray with your family. Develop the ability to pray at length. Pray in church and pray at home. Obey scriptures relating to prayer. When you're sick, get prayed for. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. God is able to heal your body and save your soul. Fasting is a powerful weapon. Amen. The man with the lunatic son, the disciples asked, why could not we cast him out? In Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21, I'm not reading all of those, but he said, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. If there's something really important in your life, pray and fast, and God will give you the answer. Amen. Church attendance. No one, not a single person, will succeed in living for God if he is unfaithful in church attendance. Amen. I just believe that's absolutely true. It is a high priority that we be faithful unto God. Regardless if a snowflake hits, we didn't get very many of them last year, but it could happen. Come to church anyway. Regardless if it's raining or if it's hot, come to church anyway. Be faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people in the survey that were religious didn't go to church at all. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. I tell you, Jesus Christ is coming again. He will keep his word. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. Pastor's lunch is right after church. And in prayers. Monday night is prayer meeting time. 7 o'clock. God bless you. Tell you what, we need to establish ourselves in a church family. Don't run from church to church. Don't go from pastor to pastor. Don't try shopping. No, plant yourself in a family of God. Set yourself to be faithful to the Lord. Attend each service regularly. Attend each revival service faithfully. When you are, when there is service in your church, don't go to someone else's church. If you go to another church and your church is having church, you shouldn't be here right now. Amen. You should be in your home church. Amen. Witnessing, our elements class has been about witnessing today. It's God's plan for us to witness. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That includes Uncasville, Connecticut. Most people in the entirety of the world never heard of it. They don't. It's the uttermost, farthest point on the earth. But here we are. God is here also. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your testimony is powerful. Amen. Involve yourself in church. Get involved in a class. Take a home Bible study. Do those things that the church is encouraging you to do. Take part. Don't criticize. Get involved.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I'm going back to my text. I'm trying to wrap this up here. The Jebusites were the sons of Canaan. Ezekiel said, thy father is an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. You see, they were not part of the people that were there in the promised land. The people that were the Jebusites that were there before the children of Israel came to that area, they were not a part of the righteous seed of the Messiah. They were dwelling in the mountains of Canaan where the 12 spies went from Kadesh Barnea. They had natural defenses in that mountain, Jebus. They were fighters, but they made peace with Joshua. Benjamin was given the area of Jebus as part of the tribe's inheritance when they divided the land of Canaan. They and Judah conquered the area, and too also Zarephath and Gaza and Ascalon and Ekron and Hebron, and they gave it to Caleb. They came to Jebus, the mountain, 65 years after God said that he would drive out the inhabitants. They had the promise of God behind them, but the word of God tells us they did not drive out the Jebusites. The Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin. God told them to destroy their altars, to break their images, to cut down their groves, not to worship their gods, not to make a covenant with them. The children of Benjamin lived with them, ate with them, worshiped with them. The Jebusites became as one of them. They dwelt there together for over 440 years until David conquered them and drove them out of the land. Many times there are things in our lives that God has told us to drive out. You see it in the Word of God. Get yourself in the Word of God. It will show you what God wants for your life. Old habits, old friends, old ideas, old pleasures, old conversations, they inhibit or hinder our walk with God. They make cloudy those things that belong to God. And God wants the Jebusites driven out. He wants the old ways to leave. Sometimes they just become Jebusites to us. We eat with them, we work with them, we live with them, we go home with them, go to church with them, and they are always there. They may be obscurely hidden in the mountains, well fortified, but they are still there. Benjamites thought that they could make the Benjamites thought that they could make children of Israel out of the Jebusites, but they found out that they could never make them the children of Israel. Never will the ungodly things of the world be acceptable unto God. Amen. Neither can we make any ungodly habit right before God. The Jebusites, the ungodly things, the old habits, our old way of life must be driven out. Israel, at one point in the Old Testament, they lost the Ark of God to the Philistines. You see, the Ark was a point of contact between God and Israel. It represented three things. It represented the very presence of God among the children of Israel. It represented the holy seat of the throne. It represented the glory of God. We need the things of God in our life. We need to be close unto Him. During the time of Eli, the prophet, due to the spiritual condition of his own house, God could not allow them to come to divine oversight of the people. They knew not the Lord. They kept back the very best of the sacrifice. They committed adultery. Their father constrained them not. David wanted to put back the glory of God. He wanted the glory of God put back at the center of the kingdom in Israel. You see, the ark had sat in the back room of Abinadab's house for nearly 70 years, gathering dust. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David drove the Jebusites out. 2 Samuel chapter 6, Israel got the ark back. Amen. Musicians, would you come? I want to wrap this up. The Jebusites, they were a small tribe, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that spoil our walk with God. We got to pay attention. You see, Jesus Christ wants to be Lord of my life. Everything in your life is related to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
My relationship with my spouse, with my children, with my family, with my job, with my home, with my community, everything is related to God. Some people may think they're just hiding small sins. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't do anything really bad. Sin is sin. There's no colors. There's no sizes. There's no degrees. Sin is sin. And it doesn't matter if you think it's only a small thing. God wants us to drive out the Jebusites.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Put aside those things that are not right before God.
Jesus.
Now, let me pause right here. Don't pretend I'm giving you a badge and you're now the religious sheriff in church. You take care of you, and God will take care of us. Amen. If there's something in your life, stand with me, would you?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There's probably something right now that God is putting in your mind. That small thing, that little thing, that thing that has hindered you, that little problem that you have, that little thing that's not right. You know it's not right. The Word of God tells us it's not right. But God is asking us to drive the Jebusites out. I tell you what. Let's do that one thing, would you? Would you give that? If Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, if you can agree with that statement, Jesus Christ, Lord of my life, if you believe that's true, then give that little thing to God. Would you join me? Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Would you lift your praise and worship unto the Lord God right now? Would you put that thing out that God wants you to put aside? Would you right now give that thing? I don't even know what it is, but you know. God knows. Would you do it right now? This altar, I'd like to open this altar. Would you come and pray? And would you seek His face? Would you trust His name? Would you do it now? Do it now.
Christ,
Lord of my life.
Lord, my life is in Your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see Your desire revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so You can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in Your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see Your desire revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so You can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans. Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Life is not my own. To you I belong.
Lord, I give myself to you.
Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. My own, oh, to you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. Oh, I give myself away, Jesus. Oh, I give myself away, so you can use me. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my life as a living sacrifice, and all my dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. So you can use me.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, we praise you, God.
Lord, take my whole life, God. Take my whole life, Lord, as a willing vessel, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God. I love you, God. Praise you, Lord. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Amen. That story of Jerusalem it's really unique and special because most people don't even know David King David beyond the story of David and Goliath, but he only reigned in Jerusalem for 33 years. There was 7 years before he conquered Jerusalem and the Jebusites that he reigned from Hebron, which is a completely different place. But God had put Jerusalem and Zion in his heart as the place of the seat of his prosperity and the might of the kingdom of Israel. And so that was his chief possession, was that city. And in Psalm 137, he says that. Psalm 137, verse 4, he says, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." Amen. And that's the message today that I got, is that if Jesus is not the Lord of my life, if I forget God, if I forget the things of God, and I'm so thankful about how practical Pastor Greeley is in his teaching, because none of the things that he was talking about are all that hard. You know, it's not like he's asking you to, you know, go sell all that you have and, you know, no. Easy, simple things that if we will do, if we will be good stewards of, and we'll not try to, you know, forget about the things of God, that this will be the joy in your life. This will be, it'll be a blessing more than you've ever had before. Amen. This isn't just a extra credit or icing on the cake. This is the whole thing. Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life. Amen. Don't let me forget that. I don't ever want to forget that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to dismiss you all today, but just real quick, before you leave, stop by up here. You can sign up for the picnic. You're holding up the wrong thing, bro. We have a great big cookout every year. And I'm telling you what, you just take a quick poll about the food at the picnic. It's just phenomenal, really, really good stuff. So come and join us. Be part of that on the 29th. We're going to get there around noon to start setting up, so you can come anytime after noon, and we'll be there. Praise the Lord. And today, don't leave. If you want to join for pastor's lunch, please come back and join and be part of that. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord God. Thank you for the service, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Jesus, we love you and praise you, God. Thank you for your blessing, Lord Jesus, upon us. Lord, bless all that we're doing, Lord God. Bless the food and the, Lord Jesus, the fellowship, Lord, after our service. God bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.